You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're discussing a historic milestone in Oregon's approach to housing equity, the launch of the Tribal Housing Grant Fund. This is a first-of-its-kind initiative that provides $10 million in state funds specifically to address the unique housing needs of the 9 federally recognized tribes of Oregon. Joining us to discuss this landmark program are two leaders who were instrumental in its creation. Andrea Bell is Executive Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. Welcome back to the Exchange, Andrea.
It's good to be with you.
And Sammy Jo Diffentorum is Executive Director of the Siletz Tribal Housing Department and a member of the Housing Stability Council. Welcome to the Exchange, Sammy Jo.
Thank you.
So, Andrea, let's start with the why. You described the Tribal Housing Grant Fund as a way to operationalize the value of tribal sovereignty. Can you explain what that means?
Yes, well, the Tribal Housing Grant Fund is one that is both symbolic and operational. From a symbolic perspective, OHCS as a government agency has an inherent mandate to live up to the government-to-government relationship that exists between us and each of Oregon's 9 federally recognized tribes. And as important as it is to verbalize that commitment, it also calls upon us to act. And in this case, acting means investing in a way that is reflective of the needs and expectations and flexibilities that are needed for each individual tribe to govern and to deliver solutions that are a reflection of each of their tribal members' needs.
So the fund is described as first of its kind. How does this program differ from how the state has historically allocated housing resources to tribal nations?
Well, it has been a really interesting journey, I will tell you. I came to the agency in 2019, and at that time, even though that doesn't seem like a long time ago, what I can tell you is while we understood functionally the relationship between us and each of the tribes, and we knew that our resources needed to directly make it to tribes so that they could deliver the solutions that they needed to in their own particular way, what we didn't do is we had not had a vigorous course of action that was really specific to tribes. And what I mean by that, it is one thing to have a carve out for tribes. It is one thing to say that tribes are eligible, have access to. That frankly just didn't cut it and didn't go further enough. What this program is really built to do is, one, listen to each of the tribes, and frankly, it exists because each of the tribes came together and made clear what they needed from an individual perspective. But also, I think when you look under the hood of the program, it also seeks to get rid of overly burdensome requirements or, you know, unnecessary limitations that often drain resources and undermine the ability for each of the tribes to self-govern. And so it is just as much about power sharing as it is living up to that relationship in a monetary way that is not constraining the very point of what we're trying to deliver.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good start. Sammy Jo, you have over 26 years of experience in tribal housing. From your perspective, how does this new Tribal Housing Grant Fund elevate tribal self-determination differently than any other federal program?
That's a great question. So this isn't a federal program for one, so this is a state program. And I think the distinction is, prior to this, to receive funds from the state, there were multiple competitive programs that you could apply for, but the framework didn't, it didn't really work for tribes. It put us in a framework that didn't really make sense. It didn't really acknowledge or fit how we're developing housing, how we operate housing in our respective areas. So I think it's unique in that respect, and it also combines different funding sources into one grant. I don't know that that's been done before, certainly not with the tribes in the state. And I just want to like back up a little bit to what Director Bell was talking about. When she and I first met and we started working on tribal housing issues, more or less, she was working at the state. we were on a task force that was looking at homelessness in the state. And what the statistics revealed was that Native people experience homelessness 4 times more than any other demographic that was counted. And it's like, why is that? What needs to change here? And how can we make that change? How can we be part of the change? And so there was a prior program called Bassi Nato that started down this path of granting funds directly to the tribes to determine how to address the issue within our respective areas. And so this builds on that with a new framework that's like, you can do homelessness services with it, but you can also do development. You can do infrastructure development. It's really, really flexible in how we can use the funds. And so it's unique in many respects.
Well, I don't want to be cavalier, but it seems to me that prior to disruption, the Native tribes were doing just fine and didn't have any homelessness until the arrival of the colonial settlers. And now it seems like the colonial settlers, the descendants, are being looked at or looked toward to provide a solution when the tribes themselves have those solutions. Is that being recognized within this program?
Well, that's a really big statement and a big question. Without like getting on a soapbox, you're right. I mean, tribes were displaced. They were put on reservations that were formed by the government and moved from traditional areas. So tribes have had a lot of rebuilding to do. Many tribes have had. So one of the things that I have found interesting in my work, I'm not aware of any tribe in the country that has a word for homelessness. That wasn't really a concept that existed traditionally with Native people. This is something that probably is a result of colonization.
If you're just joining us.
So,
if you're just joining us, my guests are Andrea Bell, Executive Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Sammy Joe Diffantorum, Executive Director of the Siletz Tribal Housing Department. Go on, Sammy Joe. You were saying.
Oh, yeah. So homelessness wasn't something that that we really understood how to define it. People, like, lived with extended family, and it was just the way that life was. We have multi-generational homes. I'm a multi-generational family. We have 3 generations that live in one home, and that's very comfortable and very common for us. So, yes, I think homelessness is something that we've had to grapple with. And the other thing that I've found is what people call the urban issue, because our people weren't from urban areas. I mean, reservations are typically very rural, which is part of the reason that flexibility and funding like this matters. When we're developing, we're often buying land. We're developing water or sewer systems that don't exist. We're pulling electrical lines to places where they haven't been. So it gets very costly and very complicated.
Okay, so that's a good point. How will having flexibility in the program design allow the Siletz Tribal Housing Department or the other tribes to meet specific local needs that a one-size-fits-all program might miss?
Yeah, well, exactly what we've discussed. What we plan to do with the funds is going to be different than what other tribes are probably planning, and we saw that also with the Bassi Nato program. I think one tribe had either subsidized or built a homeless shelter. And we did affordability payments. We have people all over the state. And so our goal was to make sure that if we had homeless families, we could help them stabilize, become housed, and that meant subsidizing rent for a period of time. And so we can continue doing that with this program. We can also do housing production, which that's typically where I lean in. I like to build. I'm constantly planning the next project. So we're looking at these resources to do multiple things here.
Well, and hopefully there's more coming. Andrea, the 2025 legislative session allocated just $10 million for this program. Hopefully there'll be more coming. But what are the eligible activities for these funds?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. So $10 million, and the way that I would be thinking about this is a good and solid start and something that we have to continue to build on over time. I think the idea that government can keep up with the pace of change feels like, you know, that there's light years in between that. And we also can't accept that this is the pinnacle of where things can be. The activities that are included in here in this particular program, so tribes can use it for homelessness prevention. So if somebody's at the brink of losing their place, that could be an intervention that could help make sure that people have the stability that is required for just everyday life. If a tribe chooses to use it to support production of housing, getting more housing, that would be an eligible activity, and so would home ownership, for example. I think while I would consider this to be somewhat of a kind of back-end function, but I think these details become very, very important in determining whether we actually rise to the occasion of the flexibility that's needed is, as each tribe determines its plans and its actions that they want to take, it will be important for us, and I think we should be measured on living up to partnership on this element, is all of the flexibilities embodied in this grant should be there regardless of the activities that each tribe looks to utilize. And I think so much of this grant is, it is symbolic of, I think, larger elements of our state. And, you know, maybe this sounds really wild, but I would say even our world, which is that government's purpose, one of its primary responsibilities is to serve the people in the way that people need, in the way that people have named, and not the other way around. And so when tribes or small towns and rural communities or, you know, people of color or any community name what they need, we ought to believe them and act accordingly.
Well, that sounds very practical. Sammy Jo, beyond just building houses, the fund also covers capacity building and land acquisition. How critical are those supports for tribes that may be looking to expand their housing footprint?
Well, I think it is critical. I think all of these elements are critical. It depends on the tribe, you know, like land acquisition for tribes that have been displaced and relocated. We don't have these large land-based reservations that you hear about. When we want to develop, we're typically having to buy back land to do that. So land acquisition is, you know, very important. And then the land that we buy is often, as I said, undeveloped. So we're having to develop water and sewer systems. Sometimes in rural areas, there isn't always city services. So we have to be like really creative in how we develop sometimes, but all these things are costs that, you know, we fall short on a lot of the time. So yeah, this is, it's just amazing. I don't know how else to say it. All the tribes are so grateful. Everybody that's in the monthly calls on this, everyone's just so grateful and so excited for this program to be a reality.
It does sound like a great start. We have about a minute left, so I'm just going to ask both of you, what does success look like 2 or 5 years from now? What changes do you hope to see?
Well, maybe I'll start, and these are just kind of a couple of things that maybe come to mind. I think the first thing that I'm thinking about in a near-term basis is that this program delivers the solutions that each tribe set out to. That's thing one. The other piece of this, and this is sort of the moonshot moment, because I think we all have to think and be able to act big considering this version of our federal government and how active they may or may not be, which is even in the moment of challenge or a cacophony of challenge, understanding that it is always government's role to live up to a place of building trust, and then you need to do something with that trust beyond pointing to statistics, but to act and to serve in that way. And I think this is a moment that is beyond 1 year or 2 years, but where do we aim to be as a state the next 5 years, or dare I say the next 10 years?
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Sammy Jo, really quick, your thoughts?
Yes, more opportunities for tribal people. As a practitioner, that's where I see it. But I'd also like to see this memorialized. so that the program, is still there when I'm not there.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you both. My guests were Andrea Bell, Executive Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Sammy Joe DeFantorum, Executive Director of the Seletz Tribal Housing Department.